Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I am the host, Jennifer Campbell. Today I am here with Emily. Emily and I know each other very, very, very well. We met, almost 2 years ago, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, May.
I stalked you, asked you to do coffee. It was love at first sight, basically.
Basically. And then we haven't stopped talking since.
No, we have not. I want you to jump in and start telling us the story of your doula journey.
I would love to. My doula journey started when I did not want to work in restaurants any longer. And I was in the restaurant industry, hospitality industry for 10 years about. I put myself through college that way. That was my gig. I was Emily Restaurants. And when I became manager and I graduated college and I decided to be looking at my future in a different way, I realized that this job was not actually something that fulfilled me. I didn't want to go to it. I was depressed when I would know that I had to go to work, which is 5 days a week. So my life was just not shining brightly. And I didn't really know anything about doulas until a friend of mine shared that she was going to have a doula at her upcoming birth. She was talking about her conception journey, and I was listening to this world for the first time because all my friends are older. Maybe they've already had kids, or some of them were in that phase at that point. And they said something about doulas, and I was like, what's a doula? That's a weird word. And they told me about it in the context that they were shocked I didn't know, because I embody that role to them in their minds. They're like, you are a doula. Like, how do you not know about this? So it was very kismet. There was a lot of serendipity involved. I heard the word one day. The next day, another woman who was a complete stranger said something about becoming a doula. And then the following day, I found out that there was a doula training down the street from my house in San Francisco. And it was just like, okay, well, I guess that's how that's going to go. And I like to follow the signs of the universe and the messages that are coming down for me. So I decided to follow it. And that was right at the end of 2019, coming into 2020.
Okay.
The last day I got my birth doula training, I quit my job the minute that I could and just fell in love with the concept, the sacred way in which we are companioning people through this transition that I had no idea was all that it was. I was like so in my maiden experience at like 25 or so. I just didn't know all the things that everybody was going through. I learned about the system. I learned about all of the ways that we have been breaking the bonds of mother and child by the systematic way that we have now medicalized birth. And that lit a fire in me that I did not know existed. And it felt like a humanitarian cause for me at that point. And I had no idea that activism was going to be in my future, or social justice or community building, community organizing, but that sort of started me off. And then the last day of my birth doula training, that was supposed to be a potluck, fun, woohoo, we became doulas together, was the first day of the shutdowns for the pandemic. Yep. And it was the first Zoom meeting I was ever on. I was like, what is this? And now,
more things, to learn.
Yeah. 4 years later, I'm like, can I learn more about Zoom? Live on Zoom. So interesting turn of events there. I moved to Reno in the process of that, after getting to really just sit with everything that I learned. I couldn't go and work. There was no doulas getting hired. I ended up not living in San Francisco any longer either. And so I moved to Reno. I did a postpartum doula training because that was being offered as well online. And I jumped at the chance because I knew I wanted to help in postpartum too. Immediately knowing everything that's happening at birth, I was like, well, I have to do postpartum also. There's no way that I'm not going to be able to support people throughout the whole thing. So I did my postpartum training, and then it was really just I think about it as a divine intervention for myself and my own journey of getting to really be with everything that I learned. Because I take information in and then I think very deeply about it. That's like kind of how my brain works. I'm a Pisces, I'm a dreamer. I need to sit with something and really understand it before I know how to live into it. And I need to know who I am in it and what my role is and how am I going to present myself and what kind of doula do I want to be. It felt like a huge internal shift that I was making from 10 years in the restaurant industry to then transitioning to this new career. I really wanted to understand what my skills were, my strengths, where am I going to be the best version of myself for people that would hire me. And so that time was sacred for me, just getting to be with myself and be with everything that I learned and continue to learn and make connections. And that really was the start of everything here in Reno. And it's hard to be a doula.
I
So I'll
was
say
gonna
that.
ask, like, my next question, you went, because I worked restaurant through college and stuff, not at the level you did, but
Yeah.
hardest job I've ever had, right?
Yeah.
Exhausting. If people don't like something, you're the one that's gonna hear about it. But being a doula also is like, can be super long hours and very intense. And even when you love it, there's still navigating the hours and the not having pay on a regular basis, not
Yep.
having hours on a regular, like, there's something to be said for set hours and set pay, right? So talk to me about, and during the pandemic, it's so hard because there's a pandemic also and moving.
Right.
So I know that those were
And therapy, and like the first time I was like exploring my like spirituality and like living with my mom as an adult, there was like so
so much.
many things.
Okay, that's a lot. So my first question is transitioning into that one type of stress to a different type of stress. And generally, doulas feel like we love the type of stress, but it's still really hard.
Yeah.
So
And
talk to me about that, the difference in that, and how you found some sort of balance in the schedule and pay for being a doula.
well, that's perfect because it does that leads into then how I think about my own parenting journey, you know, which is
Yes.
like where we're here at this podcast for. And so the transition into that work was hard. However, I think it was a little bit delayed hard for me because I had out the gate. I was working with an agency and they needed postpartum doulas overnight. And they had someone who was leaving that position and was looking to essentially train someone to take over that clientele. It was like right place, right time for me to just kind of come in, learn from this doula, this woman, this friend of mine now, and then move into taking over overnight care. And I did that for just about 2 years. And so I had no intentions of becoming an overnight postpartum doula when I again like lit this fire inside of me. But that was where the clients were for me. That was where I was getting my income. And like you're saying, you need a paycheck. And that was where
Yeah.
I was getting my paycheck. That was how I was getting regular hours. So I had this like illusion that it was going to be not that hard because I was booked for about 2 years pretty consistently without having to try. And that helped support me
Wow.
kind of building myself out of, you know, I was unemployed with the restaurants closing and pandemic. I mean, I was on unemployment for a lot of those years. And so I was transitioning off of that. But the clientele that I was able to take through that agency, they were all very resourced families. They knew what they were doing. They were very educated. They had anything that they needed at their disposal to support themselves through the transition of being a parent or a parent again. And I had a moral thing with that. I needed to be able to make my services accessible because I had learned about the disparities in women's outcomes for birth, and that it's so often a racially driven disparity, socioeconomic driven disparity. And it just didn't sit right with me that I was only being able to support these people because they were able to support the financial needs that I had. Right. So it was certainly like a system that worked together, but it was challenging for me then to take my own practice because I was working through this agency, but I still was able to have my own practice. But I had kind of put that on pause. So I didn't have my website up. I was still kind of like working out all of who do I want to be? Where do I want to put myself, my pricing? And so I sat on that for a while. I thought about it for quite a long time while I was doing the agency work. And then my clients kind of started to finish their contracts. I was kind of thinking I was going to be doing a couple of trips that didn't end up working out. There was a private client friend of mine who had, that was a very messy experience. And I eventually found myself with zero clients, no income, and no website to build my clientele either. And I had worked just exclusively in this agency, so my network was also very limited. I had some clients that I had worked with, so like word of mouth was sort of happening, but like nobody was getting pregnant. No one needed a baby. No one needed a doula. No one needed a baby. No one needed a doula for their babies. Do we ever need babies? I don't know.
I apparently did.
Question for another question. Yeah, question for another time.
We'll table that one.
And so I was very worried. I was in debt pretty deeply. And I was trying, I had a couple birth clients, like very sporadically, just friends of mine. I had traveled for a birth that ended up being a wash. I probably made negative dollars on that one. And I was, going through so much of my own internal process. When I said I was living with my mom as an adult, going to therapy, spiritual like awakening, I could not work. My body was like, nope, you are going to tend to your inner child. You are going to lurk at your shadows. You are going to understand what it is that you are trying to get out of this job. And that looked like me doing a lot of inner work that was just very sensitive and tender. And putting everything I had into a doula business was not quite ready for me yet. I needed to like break and heal and understand the reason why I wanted to do this work and why it felt so good. It's like there was a worthiness aspect to it that I was seeking to fulfill. And, you know, when clients wouldn't like share their, you know, overwhelming gratitude for everything that I just did for them, I thought that I failed and that I had done something wrong and that I was not a good doula and that I shouldn't do this anymore. And there was just a lot of these shadows that I got to explore at that time that were really necessary. And it all sort of stemmed from my childhood, from the way that my parents were approaching their own parenthood journeys. My story is kind of interesting on that front. And so I needed to unpack a lot for myself before I was really ready to dive into it. But I also needed money and was in debt. And so I needed to work. And a client of mine, a previous overnight client, was looking for some nanny support. They were looking to have a temporary nanny come in before, you know, kind of finding their forever nanny, because that's just like how they are doing their childcare life. And I was so grateful. It was the most perfect timing that I could have ever needed. I was up there. I had a set schedule. I had a wonderful like person that I was working with. The mom and I have become very close now and consider her a friend. And that saved my life. So mm-hmm. being a nanny was a huge part of my doula journey as well. And that's where I started to begin my own parenting journey, was that experience and the experience of being an overnight postpartum doula, seeing women in the trenches, seeing families at the very beginning of this, watching them experience postpartum, supported or unsupported. You know, I saw so many different types of ways that people brought, you know, babies into the world. And I was sort of just gathering information. I felt like a fly on the wall, like, okay, so you can do it that way, you can do it that way, you can do it this way. Like, I'm a gatherer. I'm just like, information come to me. And there was a period of time that I was staunchly, I'm not having kids.
Okay.
Hell no.
That wasn't my next question, because not everybody wants them.
Yeah.
And
no.
Some of that is your own childhood, and some of that is how you are as an adult. And so, I mean, there's lots of reasons why.
Yeah.
So talk to me about not wanting to have them, and talk to me about changing that feeling.
So didn't want kids. I was on the fence about kids and had been on the fence about kids, but kind of a leaning no for a good amount of my like late mid 20s. It just, I saw myself wanting to be more of an adventurous spirit, like having travel opportunities, like building myself into a lifestyle that really supported what I wanted. And it just looked like so much work. And I just didn't.
It is.
It is so much work. I was watching it be so much work. I was literally watching it be so much work, and also watching the way in which financial resources and being financially stable made a huge difference in the amount of stress that I would see people experience. You know, the parents who were financially well off, they like, oh, the kid needs this thing, or the baby needs this. And they're like, cool, let me just order that. Let me get this. Let me get this. And it's just not the, okay, well, I can't get this for the kid, you know? So like that whole experience, and I have always been low income. I was the first person in my family to graduate college. My parents pulled themselves up from basically nothing, and I have not seen or experienced generational wealth. So I had this fear that I was not ever going to reach financial stability to the level in which I would feel comfortable bringing a child into the world and to be able to provide for them and support them. I also didn't want to rely on a partner to be the financial support. I've always felt intrinsically that I need to have my own financial wealth for myself. And then also, I studied in the environment in college. And so I was also told by that community that overpopulation, not good. We cannot be overpopulating the world. Don't be having so many kids. It costs this much carbon. You know, I was like, wow. So I got so much feedback that having kids was not an option that would feel joyful, like beautiful, supportive, transformational. Like, I didn't think about it like that yet. I had just only seen how hard it
Yeah.
was going to be. Which is good. I'm so grateful for that, because I didn't have this expectation that it was going to be rainbows, because women
Right.
are sold this false narrative that we're going to grow up, we are conditioned to be caretakers, and then we are sent off on our way, told, don't have sex, don't have sex, don't have sex, get pregnant.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, excuse me, what? How are we supposed to have any sort of information gathering phase of that experience to
Yeah.
give people an idea of what they're going into so that they're not sorely disappointed? And then, you know, the choosing of the partner and your own like processes. So there was just, there was a lot that I was working through. So I was a no for a lot of reasons. And
Yeah.
then as I was working for this family as a nanny, and was beginning a relationship with my current partner now, and it was an early partnership at this time, who he was like, I don't know, maybe I think I like, yeah, I'd like to be a dad. But you know, him and I were only seeing each other once a week. We're in a non-monogamous relationship, so I have another partner that I'm seeing at the same time. It just didn't seem like, you know, he's about to pop the question anytime soon. So I was also kind of going off of that as well, like, well, a partner is a really important thing to me, and I don't know if this partner is going to be my partner for kids. So our relationship is starting. It's very good. So I'm hoping that there is forward progression and growth in our relationship. And over the course of the year that I was a nanny, I did get to see that. I got to see him and I grow together in a way that gave me a different sort of confidence and a different lens on, like, oh, okay, well, I've been imagining this whole parenting thing from my own experience. Like, I would be alone. You know, I was like imagining me doing it alone, not imagining me doing it with a partner who was just as supportive as I would want somebody to be. And then some. You know, he surprised me so much in the last 2 years, just the way that we have been a team. And so he is a huge reason that I have shifted into wanting kids, because I want a family with him. I want to watch him become a dad. I want to watch myself become a mom with him as my partner, and vice versa. And that's something that we, you know, talk about. And it's that's like so exciting. That is just a deeply like settling, grounding, comforting feeling that I didn't know if I'd get this time around. And so him and I's partnership was a big reason. And then another was just watching the kids grow up. I'd been, like I said, in the trenches, you know, overnight, fresh newborn, poop and pee is everywhere, no one's sleeping. And then I'm watching them like become 2, 3, 4 months old, 6 months old, watching him sort of walk. The older daughter I've seen from 2 years old to 3 years old, and watching that jump. And I started to feel just the like wonder that it is to like be around kids and be around small kids and watch them grow and be a part of their growth, teaching them lessons, teaching them things that I've learned, and understanding the world from their perspective. Like, it was so good for me and my psyche and my soul, I think, to just be around kids at that time, because I was going through so much of my own inner child work. I was just able to connect with them, and that changed me over that course of working in with that family, and Nolan and I growing our partnership stronger. And now I'm a yes. So here we
It's
go.
interesting because we met about 2 years ago,
Yeah.
and you weren't a yes at that point. You wanted to be a support in a different way. And I think younger doulas without children, the nanny route makes a ton of sense because it's attached to birth work. It's just
Yeah.
continuing that relationship in a much more intense way. And so I knew you at that point and have gotten to see you change. Also, I want to point out that it says it in the show notes, you're the executive director of Doula Co-op of Nevada.
Yes.
And I think you've always been a really good balance because same thing for me. When I, my first round of birth work for about 7 years, I worked with a midwifery practice, and these were women who were paying for it, could afford it, and advocated for themselves. And it gives you a skewed idea of what pregnancy is like for most women, because that is not what pregnancy is like for most women. And the fact that you saw that, like, oh, these women are doing great because they have the finances, the self-advocacy and the support. So
Yeah.
they're crushing it, right? They're doing a great job. They have everything they need. And then to look at the disparities and learn about that, that's a direct contradiction of the work that you and I had both been doing.
Yeah.
And you started the co-op to work with two other women, Samantha and Sue. And we met right when that was happening. And I was
Yeah.
so excited because I wanted a community and I wanted opportunities and connection. And I didn't want to be an island by myself with my little website out there. And I think a
With
lot
your
of
little
doulas,
website and your blog and your podcast and your everything, because you
but
do the whole thing.
still,
But
you
yes,
feel it's very
you feel
isolating.
isolated,
And
totally.
doula work has a high burnout rate. And I think a lot of that, it's like lack of pay and lack of connection and community and support. And so you are creating this on the op polar opposite side of your experience to work with the women who are lower income and all of those disparities that you learned about and that you start to see. And so that was a unique difference with you, is that you saw both sides and like working with both sides of that coin. You know, and it's, you have had experiences that are, I think, the most, there's the biggest gap between having money and support and not. Like, you've seen this massive gap in birth work with that. So I
And it
appreciate
changed.
that.
Thank you for seeing that and for saying that. It does make a difference. It
Oh
makes a
my
difference.
gosh, every day. Every day. And I think also doulas get, when you look at those disparities, you want to work with women who don't have that voice, don't have that support, don't have those resources. It feels like when I was in high school thinking I was going to join the Peace Corps and save the world, right? Like, you can't, that's not your job. You can't save the world. You make a difference to that one. You just focus on making a difference to that one and then continuing to make a difference to that one. And I think that that can be hard. Talk to me about moving into that transition of starting the doula co-op. And the reason that I brought this up also is because now that you've decided that you're a yes, you're going to have kids, you have like 30 women wanting to be your doula at no charge. We'll take rotating shifts. It's all good, which is like too much of a good thing is still not a good thing. But you know,
I mean,
yeah,
I
we
don't
have
want to
we
pretend that everyone wants to be my doula, but I think everyone is pretty invested in me becoming a mom.
That is true. I think we all want to help, maybe in different ways, not necessarily being your, well, I want to be your doula, but anyway, I think, you know,
They'll
I'm
be in
like,
the rotation.
I'm ready for the rotation. But you have created this community through the Doula Co-op of Nevada that really, it's so mind-blowing what this community has become in 2 years, and the support, because you were looking at disparities and the lack of support in the women who were pregnant and birthing and postpartum. But then, oh, what about the fact that the doulas don't have that either?
That was, I think, what all of my gathering gave me is like, I could be a doula and I could support clients who are very wealthy and well off, or I could support clients who aren't. But either way, I mean, obviously you're doing a different type of work if you're working with women who aren't as resourced and so they can't pay full fees and you're doing sliding scale or you're doing more community-based doula work like for free or donation. That's very hard. But that's also how we came up into the world. I mean, this is work that is women's work that has been done for centuries. So like there's honor and a lot of I keep using the word sacred, but like it's a sacred space to hold for other women. But when you are trying to do it as a career, as a job, and I saw that I was going to have to pretty much work all the time. I was going to have to be a birth doula full time. I was going to have to take so many clients. I was going to be on call, or I was going to have postpartum clients lined up. Like I just didn't understand the lifestyle awareness of the job. And so when the time came for me to, I think, really decide how I wanted my practice to run and how I wanted to build it, I needed to make sure that I was speaking from a position of privilege as a white, educated, cis, straight woman. Even though I've had my challenges coming up in the world, I still have a higher level than those who are in BIPOC communities or who are disabled or in one of these marginalized groups that forever and ever have been systemically underserved. So I saw the way in which I was coming up and having all these challenges, sustaining myself as a doula, while also feeling like I had a life. Like I like to travel. I have friends who live all over the world. My sister lives in Europe. Like I want to be able to see the people that I love. I want to be able to have experiences and not feel so I have to work all day long. Like, that's just a mentality that I don't agree with. I don't agree with capitalism. And so I don't want to play into that with my own job. I want to understand how can we utilize the resources that we all have at our disposal. Some have different skills than others. And I happen to have a set of skills that was uniquely qualified to kind of see the problems that were coming for me, but I knew that I wasn't the only one. I was like, this is not just a me issue. If I'm having a hard time sustaining myself as a doula, I'm sure that other doulas are. And I know that not all of them are working with families who are paying them as well as I'm getting paid. So what are people doing? I was just curious how that was even happening and how people were becoming doulas because I didn't want to get a second job. I didn't want to go back into a restaurant. I didn't want to do that. That felt like a backwards step.
Yeah.
So getting to be a full-time doula was seeing that I think the only way for me to become a sustainable doula was to have doulas alongside me, working together, building a network, having connections, and having a community. I did not know that it was going to grow to what it is now and to actually do like statewide advocacy for doulas and to have a space that, you know, is actually making real change for not just doulas, but the communities that we serve, because that's really, I think, the pyramid that I see. It's like if doulas are down here and we are this foundational support for families as they experience these challenges, if we're supposed to go into those spaces feeling grounded and clear as a channel, right, to hold space for their transformation, then, and not to save them and not to put our own stuff there and not to project onto them, but instead to just give them the space to experience their own transition, then I was going to have to do that being supported myself and having sort of a layer below that layer that was my support. And the other doulas that started the co-op with me, Sam and Sue, we all saw that. And we saw that there was a way in which when we are supported, the whole community then is supported. Because if we're coming in here to support these folks won't get supported if we're not supported. So let's be this. And I say this a lot, but like when the tide rises, all boats float. And that was the idea, was that the tide was going to rise. And that tide was the support and the resources for doulas, because it is national, federal buzzwords right now, doulas and maternal health and the maternal mortality crisis and the disparities in birth outcomes for Black women and Indigenous women. So there has to be that awareness in my mind. And we were able to build something that allowed for when those resources flow in, that tide, we are all ready. We have built a platform of all these different isolated ships that were out in the sea, and we're just slowly pulling them back together and tying ourselves together with a rope. And then when the tide is going to rise, here we are, all floating up together, being able to access the Medicaid population, support each other going through that process, raise the reimbursement rate because that was atrocious.
Huge, yeah.
Like, there's just so many things that I think all of us as individuals would have wanted, but we wouldn't have been able to accomplish them alone, myself included. I would have never been able to do what I did by myself. If I didn't have support of other people, hell no. I would have just been, again, rah, rah, rah over here trying to like get people to listen to how important it is that doulas are supported themselves. And so I needed you all just as much as you all needed us to start it. And that's how it felt.
And I
And I
think
think
it's grown because the, not every doula in the state is part of Doula Co-op of Nevada. However, when doulas are made aware of, like, we're a very tight-knit community who don't always agree, but love each other despite that. And it's a place where we can have those conversations and meet in the middle, but the support is massive. And when other doulas hear about that, they all feel the same way that you did, that I did, that like we all felt that way, that need for community and support. And then it morphs into legislation, which you, the co-op crushed, the legislation for Medicaid. And then it's just, then the opportunities start. Then we have all these different minds and strengths who are a community coming together with different ideas and different desires and different knowledge. And then it, I mean, I saw it grow so fast, but I know why it did. I know why it was still, it was like, holy cow, look at everything that's happening. Like we can't keep up at first, but I mean, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. 'Cause everybody needed it just as much. So
yeah,
it's been a really amazing, community in the state of Nevada. And then the opportunities are just phenomenal that just continue to come forward. So
yeah,
it was a very good vision.
You know, that Pisces in me, I just lay down at night trying to sleep. And instead, it's just future. I'm just seeing the future. I'm like, well, that's a cool one. Let's make that one happen. I like that one. I mean, it's a lot of hard work and it's a lot of commitment. And, you know, as you know, a lot of time put in without necessarily any compensation for that time other than just knowing that it is the right thing to do to set up the community for success. And we might not see, I think we will, but
I do too.
You're not always guaranteed to actually see the fruits of all the work that you're putting in. I mean, look at civil rights. Like there's still so much that people are fighting for that they'll never see the benefits of, and that's okay. For me personally, like I'm a death doula as well. So I'm good with the whole thing, you know, come in, we leave, and you get to be supported on both sides. And whatever happens in the middle, like just doing the thing that feels good, that feels like I can wake up and feel excited about what I'm doing. And that is the difference for me in being a doula or being a restaurant manager. And no matter what I'm doing or how hard it was or how challenging to get, not have a paycheck and all of the aspects that have felt like, whoa, what did I get myself into? Also have felt so rewarding. I've never been in such a space of confidence and power within myself to lead with heart and mind and to have built this community with everyone. Everyone has been building it with me, but it does feel like when I decide to have kids and have a family of my own, I will get to experience the community that we've all built, like you said.
Yep.
Now I know all sorts of doulas. I know so many birth practices. I know so much more about my own body. I'm just watching everyone as they transition through motherhood, and it just feels like such a gift to have that. And you know, my partner and I want to travel still and like live in other places, and it's hard to imagine like not having a baby in Reno since there is all of this community support that we've built,
right?
So you know, TBD on
okay, because that was my final question, putting you on the spot. So do you have a timeline in mind? But no, you just know that it's something you want to do and you're working towards that in a different way.
Yeah. I mean, I think now that him and I live together and we also live with Sam and her kids. So I'm getting to watch him be, he's already an uncle through his family of origin, but now getting to watch him like interact with the kids on a daily basis, like that piece is set. Like we are a unit that is going to become a larger unit as a family moving forward in our lives. And we are on the same page when it comes to, we want to have these things individually done. We want to have this level of financial kind of support We want to both have a postpartum experience where neither of us have to work and nobody has to resent anybody because somebody has to work and somebody has to be with the baby and then nobody's, you know, that whole song and dance. We're setting ourselves up to, you know, create a wealth of not just financial resources, but our own internal individual experiences of the transformation for him to become a dad and for me to become a mom. And our focus right now is just not there. Our focus is on the building. Like, we are building this little nest together, and the nest is being insulated with everything that we're doing and everything that we're learning. And then I think there will be a very distinct time, because this is just kind of how my life has worked. I just know when it's time to transition into the next thing. I knew when it was time to end my restaurants and transition into this. I had other times in which that was very easy for me to see. Even though it wasn't easy, it was easy to see this is now your next thing. And so I'll know when, like, okay, I'm done creating this community. Like, women are creators by nature. Our womb space is the space in which we are creating life. And it also comes out in our creativity and our projects. And women who don't have children or choose to have children, they're still mothers to all of the projects that they do, all of the work in which they do. And it's not just work driven, but like the relationships in their lives, the individual relationships, the hobbies, the personal growth. And so I don't want to take away that, like, having a baby is the ultimate way to express womanhood. I think that's very problematic when we combine the two in such a strong way. And so I think for me, being able to create the doula co-op and build this community, that is like, if I died after that and didn't have a baby, okay, like, I did birth something though.
Yeah.
Like, it's different, but it's the same for me. And so it's still happening. This is still an ongoing birthing experience. Maybe I'm somewhere in the second stage. Maybe I'm in transition. I don't know where I'm at, but I
hard
am
to
still
say
there.
without, you know.
Oh yes. I need external information, actually. Please tell me where I'm at. Just kidding.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I
Doesn't
love
work.
Your story, and I love your journey, and I love what you have done and are continuing doing. And I'm so grateful that you shared that today.
Thank you. Thank you for asking and having me come on and share this kind of alternative becoming parents episode.
Yeah.
So I appreciate everyone listening who might also, you know, understand this experience.
Yeah.
And so it's wonderful to share. I love getting to share. I told you I love interviews. I'm like, ask me anything. So thank you for your questions and your friendship and your advocacy. I mean, Jen, the doula club would be nothing that it is now without you. And
Oh,
my
I love
gratitude
it.
extends so deep for you.
Mine to you. Thank you.